Amen. Hey, good morning, Authentic Life Church. You guys doing okay? One of you are. Thanks, Sam. Anybody else doing okay out there? All right. Hey, man. I'm really happy to be here today. I just love Sunday mornings. I love life group time, any other time that we can get together. It's family time, amen? That's what it is. And as a church family, as you see on the screen, man, we've been walking through Ephesians. For us as a church, that's mainly what we'll do. We're going to walk through a book of the Bible, and we'll take some breaks here and there for some smaller series. But we've walked through verse by verse through Ephesians, and we're now in chapter 6 and a few weeks away from the end. But, man, I've loved our time in this book. And one of the truths that we've seen in Ephesians and need to be reminded of is we truly are a family. God has called us and united us to be a family. Ephesians 1 tells us this: if you are saved, right, when you become a follower of Jesus, when we surrender our lives to Jesus and he saves us, the Bible says that we're fully adopted into the family of God. And so we've got people in this room. We've got people throughout the world that are worshiping today. But man, all of our brothers and sisters in Christ because of Jesus. Chapter 4 tells us how to live and love and function as one united family. Man, Satan likes to tear apart relationships, and we're to stay together as one united family that loves one another. We see here in Ephesians and throughout the Bible that we have there's a need for us to be together. Sometimes we can neglect that, can't we? I mean, think about that. One thing that the pandemic has taught us is some things we can take for granted, right? And so, man, we are meant to be together. There are people that are still online that are checking us out as a church, and there are people that are part of our church that need to be online right now for health reasons or whatever. And so we're glad that we can do that. But it's just it's a good thing for us to be together, to share the gospel together, to serve together, come together and worship and open his word, encourage and pray for one another. And so even whenever we're tired, it's God's design. It's God's design for us to be together. And I'll tell you what, I think one thing we need to learn from this pandemic, again, is not to take things for granted that God calls good and that he brings us together to be a part of. In Ephesians a few weeks ago, we were in chapter 5, verse 21, and Paul was telling us really how to relate to one another. And if we get this right, we're going to get a whole lot of things right. Paul says, as followers of Christ, children of God, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, verse 21 says, be subject to one another in the fear of the Lord. Preached a whole sermon on that, but here's what it means. We're to value one another. We're to see each other as God sees them, and we are to put others before ourselves. I mean, that's counterculture, and it's counter us, but we're to do that as God's people because we love Jesus. We're to humble ourselves, love one another, and willingly be subject to one another. And then after verse 21, after that, we see Paul teaches us how to relate in other areas of our lives. We see God's design and the role for the family in the church, right? The church family. And then also our family as a whole, our family units, husbands and wives, moms and dads. We looked at all of that, his design and our roles. And then today, Paul addresses how to relate in another area of our lives. One thing we've seen repeated over and over again throughout the last few weeks is this. In each and every area, in each and every relationship, our lives should always point back to Jesus. It's all about him. It's good. There you go. It's a good place to say amen, right, Charles? Man, it's about Jesus. And so this morning, we're going to dive into Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. And as we look at this passage, go ahead and turn there in your Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, we can get one for you. The words will also be up on the screen. But just follow along as I read this. But we're going to see a few different things this morning. It's going to be slightly different than what we normally do. We're not just going to walk straight through it. We're going to have a little seminary class going on, right? We're going to learn some history, some context, and then learn how to apply this to our lives, and then also be reminded that it's all about Jesus. So if you can, stand with us to honor God and his word, and just follow along as I read Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 5. The Bible says this: slaves, obey your human masters with fear and trembling in the sincerity of your heart, as you would Christ. Don't work only while being watched as people pleasers, but as slaves of Christ. Do God's will from your heart. Verse 7, serve with a good attitude as to the Lord and not to people, knowing that whatever good each one does, slave or free, he will receive this back from the Lord. And masters, treat your slaves the same way without threatening them, because you know that both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. Let's pray. Father God, we love you. Again, we're just grateful, God, that we get to be here together and open your word. God, we pray, Lord, that you would be in charge of what comes out of me. God, be in charge of how we receive and change us, God. As we open your word, help us be more like Christ. Help us glorify you. We ask all that in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. When we come to this passage, we can be tempted to do a few things. Some will come to this passage and skip over it. And if we're honest, some of the things that we just read in that text can make us a little uncomfortable if we don't understand what's being said, right? And so there's that temptation of like, okay, I got the husband-wife thing, the kid thing. I'm going to skip over 5 through 9 and we're going to go right into spiritual warfare, right? So there's that temptation to do that. Other times, we come to this passage and jump straight to application. Right? That's the another temptation. We see the word slaves and masters, and we're thinking, man, that doesn't apply to me, right? I'm not a slave or a master. That's in our past. And so all we do is we don't focus on the context, and then we just focus on application. And a lot of times we'll focus on through it from the lens of employees and employers. And if I'm gonna be honest with you, we're gonna do that today, right? That is a proper application for us. And we're gonna see how to apply that to our lives. But before we do that, we've got to answer some questions about this text. Right? Preaching and walking through a text isn't just about application. It's about learning. It's about understanding what God is telling us, going deeper and understanding. And so we need to understand what Paul is saying, what God's word is saying, and why it says it. And also, we really need to address what Paul is talking about with slaves and masters and how we can just understand that. So ultimately, we'll see that this passage is about Jesus being our Lord. So before we dive in, can we just tackle that elephant in the room real quick? Can we just do that and just address that? But Paul has just finished up talking about husbands and wives, moms and dads, children, how to relate to one another, children obey, you know, don't bring your children to anger. All of that stuff sounds good. Verse 5, slaves, right? Obey your human masters with fear and trembling and the sincerity of your heart as you would Christ. So if you're like me, I'm going through this. Now, I'm always a few weeks ahead and understanding what we're going to be tackling that week. But as I look at this, your mind, if you're like me, you stop and your mind goes back to a horrible time in our nation's history, right? Or throughout our world history, right? Where we have read and studied about slavery and the evil involved in all of that. And we look at this passage written to Christians, written to the church, and we can think, man, why is Paul not condemning slavery? Why is he not tackling that? So we're going to address that today. And it's important for us to understand. This is why we need to dive into the context to understand what Paul is saying. And so before we go into application, that's what we're going to do. The first thing I want us to see and know is this. Paul, any other person that God used to write the Bible itself, God, are not, never have been, and never will be in favor of slavery of any kind. It's just not true. Never be in favor of that. And it's important to know that because Christians in the past have used this exact verse to support slavery. Also, Bible uses other letters that this church would have had. So these guys are in Ephesus, right? And so Paul had other letters out there that they would have access to where he actually addressed slavery either at the heart of the matter, right, indirectly or directly. We're just going to look at a few of those. For example, in Ephesians, Paul addresses the heart of it even right here when he speaks to how we're to love one another, care for one another, put others before ourselves. He tells us that in the church, we're to be united as family. And slavery, especially in the way we think of it, cannot exist in our lives if we apply that text to our lives. Galatians, he addresses the heart again. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 28. Paul again says that in Christ we're one. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ. And so Paul is addressing our hearts and God's design, right, in the family of God and how we're to see and relate and love one another in Christ. And then there's this one. You can say, well, those two, man, they don't really address that. Okay, let's go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Jesus says this, whatever you want others to do for you, do also the same for them. The golden rule, right? One cannot live in or promote slavery of any kind and follow this biblical command. But throughout God's word, you can see that if we love and value our neighbors as God calls us to, slavery cannot and should not exist in any form. But then Paul and the Bible address slavery a little more direct. 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul is writing to Timothy in what we know as a pastoral epistle, right? It's a letter to Pastor Tim, right? Pastor Tim. And so he's given Timothy pastoral instruction on how he's supposed to lead and what the church is to look like. And it actually fits really well with our study in Ephesus. Do you guys know what church Pastor Tim is pastoring? Go ahead. Ephesus, man. He's got First Baptist Church of Ephesus, man. Just I don't know what it's called, but it's the Ephesians, right? And so he's pastoring them. And in verse 8 through 11, Paul in his teaching, he lists out things that are unrighteous or sinful. We see that all throughout Scripture where we just kind of see this. Paul does this a lot. We just see a list of things that are sinful. Are you ready? He's going to give us a list out of 8 through 11. Just listen as I read it. These are what he calls those are ungodly. He says they're lawless and rebellious, ungodly and sinful, unholy and irreverent. Those who kill fathers and mothers, murderers, the sexually immoral, homosexuals. So all these things are sinful. And then he says, he keeps going on with this list. He says slave traders, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to the sound teaching. So whatever goes against God's word is sinful. And so as Paul is describing the ungodly and sinful behavior that people have, he mentions in verse 10 slave traders. Does anybody's translation say kidnappers? Anybody? It's actually a word that would be okay, would fit, right? It actually fits just fine because the Greek word for this word is man-stealer. That's the main word for that in Scripture, but it also means one who kidnaps a person, one who steals a person, one who reduces another person to slavery, or one who sells a person. Are you with me? So the Bible is calling that sin, church, right? And so I share that because Paul, in his letter to Timothy, as he pastors this church in Ephesus, he directly calls slavery and those who are part of it sinful. We got to understand that. It's important to know that because, again, people throughout history have used this passage that we're looking at today to justify their involvement in slavery, saying, well, Paul is telling slaves to obey their masters. We just need to remind them to read the rest of the Bible, right? But we also have to understand this, the context in the time that Paul is writing this letter. To understand a passage, they'll teach in seminary class, if you're studying a book in the New Testament, they're going to say you got to study context, 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 okay? First one, you got to understand the Old Testament. Then you got to understand what's happening in the context of the New Testament. And third, you got to understand Greco-Roman culture. Everybody good? You guys got A's, okay? We're good, all right? So you got to understand what's happening in the context. First is this, Paul is writing to a small group of Christians at this church in Ephesus, and it's probably at this time still illegal to be a Christian. Make sense? Right? And he is also not writing this for them to make a huge change. He's addressing their lives and their life in a church. And so they probably don't have the power or the influence to make the type of change in laws that wouldn't be necessary. Are you guys with me? Okay. So then the last part that's also important for us to know is this. Slavery that Paul is talking about is not the same thing that we know of today in our history. When we think slavery, we think of it about being race or about a group of people. We think about it as a lifetime of hard manual labor and abuse, and there's really not much chance of or no chance of all for freedom, right? So let me say this. Slavery is wrong no matter how it looks, period. During this time, there were still abuse and there was still mistreatment, but what we think of is not exactly what they're facing. So we're going to give some historical context for what slavery looked like in their culture, and that will help us apply this passage to our lives. When we think about where Ephesus was, we think about the Roman Empire. Just think about this number. There were over 60 million slaves in the Roman Empire at this point. That's a lot. In Ephesus, it's believed that one-third or more of the people were in slavery of some sort. It was a normal part of their life. Slavery did not just include hard manual labor. It also included blue-collar and white-collar jobs. It includes all kind of work. Some slaves were more educated than their masters. Some slaves could own property. They could even have slaves. Other slaves had slaves. They could save money to buy their freedom. Some slaves were cashiers and clerks and bookkeepers. Some people actually chose slavery so that they could work up to a better life. Some slaves were born into it. Some slaves were only in slavery so they could pay off a large debt. To help us out with that, there were many stories throughout their time about people who were once slaves who became free and wealthy and very powerful leaders. In fact, in Scripture, we read of a man named Felix who was famous for being involved with Paul being in prison. And so he rose out of slavery, became wealthy, rose up in the ranks, and was in governorship over Judea. Right? So slavery, that's what it looked like at that particular point. And church, we spend all that time diving into that for a few reasons. The first one is this, to recap. Many have come to this passage. Many have talked to me or just that they're confused or not understanding. How is Paul okay with slavery or not condemning it? He's not. That's why we read all the Bible. Amen, right? And so there's plenty of evidence that Scripture, that God is against slavery. It's sin. It should not exist. We are not made to be bought and sold with reduced value and treated however someone wants to. Guys, we're made in the image of God. If you're in here today, if you're online, you're made in the image of God, loved and valued by God, and we're to see one another as that. By the way, it's important to know that slavery still exists all over the world, and it's still sin. We have slavery still actually growing in the United States of America, mainly through sex trafficking. It's a sick, horrible, and evil thing. And church, I'm just telling you, you got these people that have been reduced to just a piece of property to be used and sold and purchased. It's evil. It's from Satan, and the church should stand against it. Second reason, people have misused this passage to support slavery. We've addressed that. You can't do that. Third, knowing this, knowing what happens, it helps us apply this passage to our life. And so in our time remaining today, I want us to look at this passage in light of that, really in light of how we glorify Christ as leaders, as workers, as those that have people over them in authority and people that are in authority. Make sense? Are you guys ready? So, all right. So we got about 40. I'm just kidding. All right. So here's the thing. For most of us, guys, some of you are okay, right? You're like, let's do it, man. But for some of us, I think most of us, if not all of us, have worked under the leadership of someone. Right? All of us, I think, have been under the leadership of someone, even in the home and stuff. But when you talk about working, I think we've all or most of us have been in that position. And Paul is saying, if you're a Jesus follower, I need you to listen to me, Paul's saying, right? As you work, follow the leadership that is in authority over you. Follow those that are in a position of management or leadership or authority. Now, I do want to say this. There's always that reason, church. If your boss is asking you to do something that is ungodly or sinful, then we don't obey that. We obey Christ. Amen, church? Are you with me? But outside of that, we follow what God says. And he uses the phrase this. He says this, which if we think about slavery in our frame of reference, obey them with fear and trembling. That's actually a Greek phrase that actually just speaks of respect. It's not saying be afraid of them. All right, so it speaks of respect. It's used throughout Scripture for that. Paul is saying, listen, church, Paul is saying, God has you in this position, whatever it is, for his glory. And God allows this person to be in leadership over you. So because you love and respect Christ, follow and respect those in authority over you. In your bulletin on the back, you got... Kevin wouldn't let me add all of the notes I wanted to on here today, so some of them are up on the screen. If you want them, write them down, great. But the first thing we're going to talk about today is how do we glorify Christ in our as we follow, as we work, as we lead. In church, the first one is this, glorify Christ by working respectfully. Notice it doesn't say to follow them and obey them if they deserve it. It basically says Christ deserves it, so glorify Christ by obeying and respecting the boss that he's put in authority over you. And Paul says, obey and respect them. This is huge for us, church, as you would Christ. Ultimately, this is why Paul can say that, because ultimately it's not about the boss, it's about Jesus. The boss, no leader, no pastor, no leader, no manager, no person in authority will ever deserve the respect that God is calling us to give. Amen? But he does. Jesus does. And so wherever God has you serving or working, glorify Christ. Then verse 6, don't work only while being watched as people pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, do God's will from your heart. Paul's saying this, church, glorify Christ by working wholeheartedly. When talking about working, verse 5 says this, in the sincerity of your heart. Verse 6 says, do God's will from your heart. In their day, they struggled with the same thing we do today. There is temptation within us to work hard when we're being watched. Amen? There is, right? You know the boss comes by with a clipboard doing an evaluation. You're going to do your best. When that boss goes away, things change. Right? Sometimes we slack or we stop when no one's around. The challenge to the Christian worker is this. Work wholeheartedly. Don't be hypocritical. Give it your all whether someone is watching or not. That's integrity, church, right? It's wholehearted work, right? And he continues in verse 7, serve with a good attitude as to the Lord and not to people. Part of working wholeheartedly is about our attitude and our heart and being willing to do the work that God has called us to do. Now, let's just be honest. It's easier to work this way and follow leadership and work wholeheartedly and respect them when we remember ultimately it's about Christ. It is, church. We've got to go that. That's got to be our frame of reference. It's got to be our lens as we work. We can glorify Christ with how we work and serve. And then verse 8. So we got work respectfully, wholeheartedly, knowing that whatever good each one does, slave or free, he will receive this back from the Lord. Church, let's glorify Christ by working expectantly. Now let me explain what that means. Paul is telling them, hey, your work is noticed by the one who matters. Your heart, your attitude, your respect, your willingness. Here's the thing. The boss may not see it. Your coworkers may not see it, but he sees it. God sees it. Church, we may get paid for what others see. We get a paycheck for when people see us work. But for us as Jesus followers, it's about an eternal reward. And so we work expectantly towards that eternal reward, not towards a worldly reward. Make sense? All right. And then Paul comes to verse 9. And after talking to all those that are working, he addresses those that are leading. And by the way, just so you know, when we look at those passages, we're going to talk about how that can look in our lives and how we can approach those. But he comes to verse 9, and he addresses those that are leading. And he says this, and masters, treat your slaves the same way, without threatening them, because you know that both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. To the masters in their day, to the employers, to the leaders today, this command is life-changing. In that day, the master had complete control. They could lead however they saw fit. They could treat those under them however they wanted. But Paul is really giving a radical command here to Christian leaders. If you're a Christian leader today, listen to this. Paul is telling them, glorify Christ by practicing mutuality. Here's what I mean by that. Here's what Paul is telling us. He's saying, hey, master, hey, manager, hey, leader, treat those under your leadership as you would want to be treated mutually. Are you with me? Right? Treat them in that way. Treat them not as less than you, but with value and dignity and with integrity and with respect. Side note, leaders, you are only in a position of leadership because God has allowed it. Doesn't matter what role it is. You are only in that position because God has allowed it. So we need to listen to what his word is telling us. Leaders, see those that God has placed under your leadership. Put your Jesus goggles on, okay? Right? And love them, value them, respect them, and treat them as you would want to be treated. Just think about how radically that would change our workforce or any really role. And then Paul says this, lead and do this without threatening them. Leaders, treat those under you in the same way and without threatening them. So as you lead, glorify Christ by avoiding hostility. By avoiding hostility. This command really speaks of your heart if you're a leader, right? Don't have ill will toward them. Don't bully them. Don't use aggression. Paul is really calling Christian leaders here to use your power and authority with justice and grace. Don't put people under threats or under abuse. That's what the world does. That's not what Christ is calling us to do. Resist sinful conflict or opposition. You're going to have conflict and opposition, aren't you? That's why we put that. It's sinful. Don't be sinful about that. Now, we look at these things. We kind of walk through that quick, and we're going to walk through more of it. But we look at these, and we can look at what God is saying when we serve and when we work and we lead, and we think, God, are you sure you're paying attention? Like, do you know who I work for? Right? Or the bosses are saying, God, do you know what that person does that works for me? Do you know the people I work with? Well, here's the really answer. The easy answer. Yes, he does, right? This command is radical. Think about their day. It's radical. It was counterculture, but it's still counterculture for us today. I'm sure everybody in here has been mistreated by someone in authority over them. Right? It's counterculture. It goes against how we feel. It goes against how we want to act and respond as workers or as employees or those under someone's leadership. It goes against how we often lead or manage or employ people. But God is calling us to be different as Jesus followers. We're to lead and follow differently, not as the world. And here's the thing, it's possible. We can do that. We can follow and be respectful and work wholeheartedly. We can lead in the way God is calling us to do. We can do it. In your notes, we put some notes in there to help you as you trust Christ and how you work and how you lead. So first, as the scripture does, we're going to focus on how we work under those that are in leadership over us. We're just going to give some highlights on this. Church, we can work in the way God calls us to in these three verses when we work through Christ. Let me explain that. Here's what this means. We were lost, destined for hell, right? God has rescued us from sin. He's rescued us from the world. He has made us new, if you know Christ. And we have the power of the Holy Spirit residing within you. Now, here's the thing, church. The Holy Spirit's not just hanging out listening to some K-Love, okay, inside you. Are you with me? Sometimes we're just like, hey, I'll tap into you when I need. No, no, no. God, the power of the Holy Spirit is at work in your life, empowering you to live the life that Jesus is calling you to live. Whatever Scripture tells you to do, you can do it because the Holy Spirit will empower you to do it. Amen? You can't do it on your own. And so you work through Christ. And so when you're in those moments and you just say, God, I can't respect my leader. I can't follow their leadership. God says, I'll help you do that. We find ourselves getting a little lazy, right? Or only giving it a little bit. And then so we get that conviction from God, the Holy Spirit. And he said, hey, I can help you with that. Are you with me, church? We let Christ work through us. Let the power of God lead you and help you to be the employee or the worker that glorifies Christ. We can do our jobs in a God-honoring way when we depend on his power to work through us. Second is this. This is big, church. Work like Christ. Work like Christ. He is our model. He's our model. Jesus, throughout his life, gives us the model work ethic. He was humble. He worked hard with his hands. Didn't have a place to lay his head as he did God's work. He served others. He put others before him. Oh my goodness, did he ever put people before him, right? He put the Father's will before his. Jesus handled every relation and every situation with love and respect, and he did all of it while glorifying his Father in heaven. Amen, church? Like he did. And then this, we see this all over and over again, all throughout this passage, as followers of Jesus. Did I already say this? I don't think I did. We work for Christ. Did I say that yet? Woo! Man, work for Christ. Work like Christ, work for Christ. Verse 6, obey your master as you would Christ. Verse 7, don't work as people pleasers. It's not about them, but work as slaves of Christ. Verse 7, serve as to the Lord. Verse 8, knowing that whatever you do, whatever good we do, we receive back from the Lord. Everything we do is ultimately for him, right? God has you where he has you on purpose for a purpose. Amen? He has you where you are on purpose for a purpose. And so ultimately the work that we do is for Christ, giving him our best. Work through Christ, work like Christ, work for Christ, giving him our best, glorifying him. Church, I get it, man. If you've been in that position where someone is over you, it's tough. But we can do it through Christ, we can follow his example, and we can do it for him. Leaders, if you're a leader of any sort, you can learn from this, but employers, bosses, those that God has placed in a position of leadership over another person, leaders should also lead through Christ. Just like before, you cannot lead in the way God calls us to on your own. Everything in you says to do it opposite of that. So we realize that God is at work in and through us. The more time we spend with God, the more we become more like him. Amen? And then he works through us. And so we lead out of his strength. You need God's power to and his strength to lead in the way he calls you to. So lead through Christ, lead out of his strength. Second is this, lead like Christ. If you're not sure how to lead in a way that glorifies God, look at how Jesus led. Jesus was not only the model servant, he was also the ultimate model master. What kind of leadership did Jesus execute? Think about that. Just think about through the life of Christ, what kind of leadership he executed. I think that we can sum it up in three words: loving servant leadership. Everything he did was out of love, and he was a servant and he led, right? He lives out attitudes that leaders today must follow as Christians, right? He came to serve, church. He came to serve. He took up the towel, right, and served those that were under him, right? He cared for and loved those under his care. And church, I think we need to hear this. He didn't do it to seek earthly praise. And last is this, on this model, Jesus led as a shepherd, not a dictator. And then for leaders, lead for Christ. Lead for Christ. Honor him with how you lead. The Bible tells us that masters are going to give an account before God on how they led. And so we lead people for Christ, but also it's not just about those that you lead. It's also about opportunities and your integrity. When you get into a position of leadership, a lot of times there's less accountability. There's less people watching you, telling you what to do. And you're going to have the opportunity to bend the truth. You're going to have the opportunity to make unethical decisions. You have opportunities to lead harshly. But church, I think we can just, man, I think we could have just said this and gone home. Your audience ultimately isn't about your employees or customers or anybody else. Your audience is Christ. Your audience is Christ. Let's just put that on our wall in our house, right? Put that in your car as you go into work. Your audience is Christ. Whether you're leading, you're working, you're serving, you're loving your wife, your husband, you're raising your kiddos, your audience is Christ. And so seek to honor him with every decision and every interaction. If you're new here today or you're new online, today's sermon was a little different, right? A little bit different. We've had a few of those recently, haven't we? It's just a little different. And that's okay because it's a tough passage that we need to walk through. We need to dive deeper into it and understand the culture and learn how to apply it to our lives. By the way, don't miss next week. We're going to start that last part of standing firm, right? And spiritual warfare and standing firm in Christ. And so we're going to look at verses 10 through 12. And look at being strong in the Lord, putting on the armor of God, and knowing who our enemy is. Also, we get to take the Lord's Supper next week. So I'm excited about that. Be here for that. But before we close today, I want to ask two questions. The first is this. If you're here with us today, you've heard us talk about, you know, really how we work and how we lead. But the verses leading up to this has been, be subject to one another. Right? Verse 21 of chapter 5. Wives, be subject to your husbands as to the Lord. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church. Children, obey and honor your parents, right? Parents, don't bring them to anger, but bring them up in the instruction and training of the Lord. And then for today, the question is this. As we do life and relate with people that God has put around us, do you value others as Christ does? I think that needs to be a question that we ask. Do we value our kids as Christ does? Do we value our spouse? Do we value our parents as Christ does? Do we value our coworkers? Do we value... God's really working with me on my driving on this one. Like, do we value the bad drivers in Tucson, right? Whew, just me, conviction, man. But are you with me? Like, every area of our lives, do we value those people? Because God does. God values them. That should address every area of our life. The second question is this. In everything you do, is Christ your master? Because in our world, in our lives, money can be our master. Sex can be our master. Our job, that next promotion, pride. Is Christ your master? Throughout this whole passage and throughout Ephesians, we see that we have what we have. We are who we are and where we are where we are because of Christ. Is he your master? Is he in charge? Is he Lord? No matter what we do it first and foremost as followers of Christ. Is Jesus Lord and Master? Do you relate, love, respect, follow, lead, all for his glory or for your own? Christians today, if you're a follower of Christ, if you're online, if you're here, by the way, we've got resources to help with this. If you're struggling as an employee or a worker or person that serves, or if you're a leader that's struggling, we've got resources to help with that. What is God speaking to you today? What is God telling you today as someone that is working or serving underneath someone else's leadership? Are you glorifying Christ in all that you do? Maybe you're a leader today. Are you glorifying Christ in how you lead? And I'll be honest with you, both positions have a great opportunity to point other people to Jesus, to share the gospel if we're glorifying Christ with how we work and how we lead. Amen? Do. Those today, maybe you're online, and you would say, you know, why would Jesus Christ be my master? What has he done for me? Why is he worthy of that? Let me just tell you. Each one of us has probably sinned at least once, if not 101 times already today. Don't downplay it. It's a big deal, right? Jesus came for that little one and the big one. He left glory to come and be born in a manger. He wasn't born into royalty. He was born with, surrounded by hay and animals, stinky mess, you know. He worked hard. And then he surrendered his entire life to the work of the Father for you and me. And he lived a perfect life. But he died the death we deserve to die. He did. He took that sin on him. And he carried his cross. And he hung on it. And he suffered. And he died for you and me. That's why he deserves it. And guess what? There's been a lot of people that claim to be God, but only one of them rose from the dead. Jesus is a risen Savior. And he promises to be with us always. In this life and for eternity. That's why he deserves it. Just think about the sin in your life this morning. And he died for that. And the Bible tells us this. If we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. If we can say, I'm not in charge. The world's not in charge of me. You are. You're God. I'm not. And the Bible also says that if we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, meaning we know that we're sinners and that he died in our place and that he died and he was buried and that he rose again. If we believe in that, the Bible says that we'll be saved. You know what that means? It means you're rescued from the pits of hell. It means you're rescued from the chains of sin and Satan. It's a big deal. It means that one day when you're on your deathbed, you don't have to wonder whether you're going to be in heaven or hell. You know that you're going to be with him for eternity because Jesus says, I got you and I love you and I came to save you. And if you're here today and say, why does he deserve to be my master? That's why. If you're here today and you say, you know what? I don't know that Jesus. I don't have a relationship. He has not saved me. He's not my Lord. You know what he's saying to you? Follow me. Turn from your sin, turn from you, turn from the world, turn from money, turn from sex, turn from religion, trying to earn me, and just trust in me. Make me Lord of your life. Church, I just want you to just give a moment of privacy. Close your eyes. If you're a Christian today, ask God, what are you teaching me as a worker, as a servant, as an employee? If you're a leader, what is God teaching me as a leader today? If you're not a Christian, you don't know Christ, let me be very clear. You can't earn him. You'll never deserve him. You'll never deserve that. None of us do. But Jesus says, I love you, and I'm going to give everything for you. Church, I don't want to close without giving you an opportunity to say, I'm ready to follow Jesus. Today's the day. He's calling me. I want to follow him as Lord of my life. I want to turn from my sin, turn from me, and I want Jesus to be in charge. I want to know that I'm part of the family of God. I want to know that I've got an eternity with God. I want to know that I belong to him and that I am just forgiven of all of my sins. Church, if that's you today, if you're online, listen to me clearly. If you're online, go to our website, email me, go to our Connect card, fill that out, whatever it is. Don't hesitate. Stop and do it right now and go and let us know I need to give my life to Jesus. Or maybe you're giving your life to Jesus right now. You don't need to say certain words or have a preacher with you. Are you with me? So just let us know. We'll connect with you. We'll call you. And we'll help you walk with Christ. If you're here today and you'd say, you know what? I've rejected Christ or I've acted religious my whole life, but I don't have a personal relationship with him. I don't know Jesus. I want him to save me right now. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Would you look at me and raise your hand? I see that hand. Anybody else? You can put that down. You're good. Anybody else say, I want to give my life to Christ today. I want Him to be Lord. I want Him to be in charge. I want to be with Him for eternity. Listen to me. The words that I'm about to say that I'm going to ask you to follow don't save you. It's your heart. So, but I am going to give a prayer. You guys keep praying. But I'm just going to pray out loud. And if you want to trust in Christ as your Lord and Savior, from the bottom of your heart, say these words silently to God. God, I'm a sinner. And I was separated from You because of my sin. But I know that You came because You love me. I know that You died on the cross for me in my place. I know You shed Your blood for me and died on that cross. And I know that although You were buried, You rose again just as You said You would. Thank You for that. God, today, right now, I turn from my sin and I turn from me being in charge and I turn to You. I call on You to be my Lord, to be my Master, and to save me from my sin. God, You tell me in the Bible that if we confess that You're Lord, and believe that You died and rose again, You will save me. And I trust You with that. So God, save me right now. Thank You for saving me. Thank You for making me a child of God. Thank You that I get to spend eternity with You in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, please get a hold of me right after church today. We want to help you in your walk with Christ. And we need to talk about next steps and those types of things. But praise God for the work He's doing. Amen. Hey, church, let's stand. Let's sing. Let's worship God today. We got one more song.